Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at economic, social, political, prophetic issues in the light of scriptural exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. In remembrance of Mother's Day, today's program is about how to biblically raise good and godly children. There are plenty of Christian books on the subject, but in the next 25 minutes, I would like to give you a quick overview of how to be a Christian parent. This is the advice I would give to new parents, and this is what I've learned after raising four boys over a period of 30 years. Now, this is not the usual topic for God and Country, but if you think about it, many of the problems we are experiencing in our nation have been caused by ungodly parenting. If you examine the bios of those leading the culture war against Christianity today, you will find that many were raised in dysfunctional homes. And the reason they're lashing out against God's institutions is because they're angry and bitter people from their upbringing. Their parents did not communicate to them God's worldview, and so they were easily deceived to interpret the world through the lies of Satan. How you raise your children affects millions. It affects whole families, whole neighborhoods, whole countries. I'm sure the father and mother of little Adolf never imagined that their little child would plunge the entire world into war and be responsible for the deaths of over 500 million people. There was a well-known work printed in 1900 that was referred to in many sermons at that time, and the book was called The Jukes and the Edwards, A Study in Education and Heredity. It was written by Albert Edward Winship, apparently a distant relative of mine. And Albert Winship compared the posterity of the great American theologian Jonathan Edwards to that of Mr. Dugdale, a man born at the same time as Edwards, the early 1700s. Jonathan Edwards chose the path of Christ, and although he had no riches or land or fame, the things that modern sociologists attribute to success, Edwards' posterity produced by 1900 1,394 known descendants, 13 of which became college presidents, 65 college professors, 3 United States senators, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 75 Army and Navy officers, 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 authors of prominence, 1 vice president of the United States, 80 became public officials in other capacities. There were 295 college graduates, among whom were governors of states and ministers to foreign countries. Edwards' descendants did not cost the state a single penny. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. But on the other hand, Mr. Dugdale chose a path of indifference toward Christ and a debauched life. And out of his 1,200 descendants, 1/4 were poor, 1/4 died in infancy, 50 women were prostitutes, 400 men were drunkards, 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 130 were convicted of other crimes. And this study was part of the 20th annual report of the New York Prison Commission. Mr. Dugdale would have given the world a different family, made the world a different place if he would have chosen Christ. But instead, his posterity was not a blessing to the nation, but a burden on the nation. So those small choices we make today affect the earthly destiny and the eternal destiny of millions. Now, this is not to say that good parenting guarantees good children. Many of the ungodly philosophers in the secular Enlightenment were raised in Christian homes. The default condition of every child is still sin. The wicked go astray from the womb, Psalm 58:3. I was brought forth in iniquity, Psalm 51:5. Every Christian should know the important lesson taught in Ezekiel chapter 18. Godly parents can have evil children, and evil parents can have good children. God can break the cycle. Don't fall into the error that is popular in evangelicalism today, that if you do everything right in parenting, you are guaranteed godly children. Or that if you don't have godly children, you must have done something wrong. This error arises from a misunderstanding and misapplication of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, a whole message could be dedicated to the effect of parenting. But that is not the message for today. That was just to inspire us to give attention to parenting. So then, how can parents raise godly children? Let me share with you four basic truths of Scripture. First, in order to raise godly children, you have to have children. Now, that might seem like an amazing grasp of the obvious, but you do know that the political left today depreciates having children and depreciates the role of motherhood. You are evil if you have too many children, you're destroying the environment, you're hurting Mother Earth, and this is all rooted in the secular humanistic philosophy of death. From abortion to euthanasia to population control to legalized drugs. John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And with this comes the lies of feminism. Lies that have robbed women of their greatest fruitfulness and reward, and instead put them in the offices and on the factory floors, so at the end of their life, they only have a pile of pay stubs. Psalm 127. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. There are volumes written just about this subject, but let's move on. The second truth to being a successful parent is that your children must be born again. Christians have asked me how my wife and I have raised such fine young men. They're not perfect, but they do love the Lord. And I tell those who ask that I have the secret for raising perfect children. And of course, they're eager to hear my method. But I surprise them by saying that the secret is having children who are born again. If they're born again, everything will be all right. That's not to say that we neglect educating the born-again child. We must instruct Christian children in the Word of God so they're not deceived by the flesh. But being born again is foundational. It's everything. If you're born again, you will overcome the world. 1 John 5:4. If God has begun that good work in you, he will complete it until the end. Philippians 1:6. Consider what you have when a child is not born again. You have in that crib a fallen creature with a sinful nature, a nature that is not unlike the nature of Satan himself. In fact, that child is a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. He is of his father, the devil, and he's under the bondage of Satan. That child is dead in his trespasses and sins. And that spiritual death within him is seen in his physical death that begins to take place the moment he's born. That child walks according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. He lives in the lust of his flesh. He indulges in the desires of the flesh and the mind. And he is by his very nature a child of wrath, even as the rest. Ephesians chapter 2. And this is the child you're going to raise? You have a Cain or a Jezebel on your hands. And you can educate and discipline all you want, but that old nature will eventually come out and take control. Romans chapter 8. That child is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can he be. But on the other hand, consider what you have when a child is born again by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He becomes a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away and new things have come. Christ dwells within him by the Holy Spirit. He has anointing of the Holy One, so he has discernment. He is led by the Spirit of God, for he is a son of God. Nothing shall separate him from the love of God. And according to 1 John 3:9, the seed of the Holy Spirit is within him, so that he cannot continue in sin. It's a real problem today that so many evangelicals don't fully appreciate or even believe how fallen are the unsaved and how radically changed are the saved. And they fail to appreciate and understand the new birth. In fact, many evangelicals are still trying to make their children perfect by the law. But Hebrews 7:19 tells us that the law makes nothing perfect. Israel tried that with her children for hundreds of years. And the law only made legalistic Pharisees who did evil under the culture of religion. And Galatians chapter 5 tells New Testament believers that we, through the Spirit, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. It doesn't come by the law. But still, many people in the pews don't understand the very gospel they profess to believe. They look to the law and not to the new birth. If your child is going to be delivered, God needs to give your child a second birth. But someone might say, well, that's out of my hands. I want a 12-step program for perfect kids. Sorry, salvation is of the Lord. And all you can do is pray and teach and live right, but God has to produce the increase. Your child needs to meet the Lord on the road to Damascus, just like the Apostle Paul. Your child has to have the same salvation experience as any converted Skid Row bum, serial killer, terrorist, or drug pusher. Now, you might think that all Christians understand this, but they don't. Many evangelicals undersell the truth of the new birth. Instead, they emphasize children being indoctrinated into the faith by programs or by techniques. Read the parenting books in Christian bookstores. How many of them even reference the doctrines of salvation? Very few. Now, you may ask, what does the salvation of your children look like? You will know it when you see it. Sincere love for Jesus and a sincere confession of faith. You'll see the fruit of the Spirit. You'll see a love for the people of God and the truth of God. Now, moving on quickly. To be a successful parent, take your role of parenting seriously. Invest your life in the ministry of parenting. Don't just have children as a cute ornament to have around the house at Christmas time. Roll up your sleeves and parent. From the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to sleep, you're parenting. You must give up your own life and your plans. You can't be going out with the boys every night or the girls. You can't be sitting in front of the television every night. And parental gender roles are very important to God. Moms need to stay home with younger children. If you have to work and your children have to be raised in an institution, that's the persecution of the world. That's not God's best. If you have to have two incomes to survive, that's one thing. But don't be doing it because you want designer clothing or annual vacations at Disney. Parenting means a huge cut in income, in housing, in cars, but it's the best investment you'll ever make. Would you give up $70,000 a year to put into an investment that would grow to $100 million in 10 years? Of course you would. Well, you must believe that investing in children is worth more than all the wealth of Mark Zuckerberg. But couples will say, you know, we want two incomes. And I think we can also have great kids also. Sorry, it just doesn't work that way. There's no substitute for a mother in the home and a dad who comes home and spends 5 hours every night with his children. Oh, and it should go without mention that you should never put your children in today's public schools. And please turn off the TV and the internet. Don't invite Hollywood into your home to raise your children. And be in church every time the doors are open. And spend your vacations at a Christian camp and conference center. Now finally, to be a successful parent, let's look at the practice of parenting. What are the New Testament verses? Well, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so they will not lose heart. What is the first thing that stands out in these texts? It's something that's always overlooked. And it's the fact that there is very, very little information in the New Testament about parenting. For something that is so important, and for something that takes up so much of one's life, there's a strange absence of texts addressing how to raise children. We know there are volumes of Christian parenting books that lay out all sorts of tips and methods and principles and techniques. But all these books tend to do is extrapolate from just a few sentences of Scripture. And many of these books simply repackage parenting ideas from the world for a Christian audience. Now, at first we might assume that this lack of Scripture regarding parenting is a negative. But there's a very important positive lesson to be learned here. While the New Testament doesn't give much information about parenting, what it does give is information about being a good Christian. And the problem with bad parents is not that they have failed to read the self-help books about parenting. Their problem is that they're not good Christians. Bad parents are just bad Christians. And you can hardly fix that problem through parenting books. You have to fix them through all the New Testament teachings about the Christian walk and doctrine. Good, mature Christians automatically make good parents. So if you want to be a great parent, work on being a great Christian. When I look at dysfunctional homes in the context of the Christian community, they are all parented by immature, worldly Christians. Parents who have poor theology and very little fruit of the Spirit. Parents who are grumpy and lazy and selfish, and have a chip on their shoulders, emotionally cold, revengeful, sour. They sit in front of the TV too much. They have poor standards of music and entertainment. They have no conviction over sin, very little passion for righteousness. And they aren't bad parents as much as they are first bad Christians. Remember Galatians 5, where Paul gives all of the fruit of the flesh, and then gives all the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul concludes that list with a radical statement: against such there is no law. In other words, these are things that you can't legislate. These are things you can't learn from a book. They come from the heart and by the Spirit of God. Good parents are people who are happy and positive and encouraging. They exude the word of God in their conversations. They're not complainers. They're not bitter. They don't have inferiority complexes. They're not out to get their ego needs met. And I've never seen people get those virtues by simply reading a book on principles of parenting. It comes by Romans chapter 12, being transformed by the renewing of one's mind through the word and through the Spirit. Now, yes, there are a few do's and don't principles in parenting that are helpful, but don't overemphasize those things. They're useless unless the person first has Christian character. And if the parent has Christian character, he really doesn't need to read those self-help books about parenting. He can write them. I don't need someone to tell me how and when to discipline my children. It comes natural from my understanding of the theology of sin, the theology of grace, law, salvation. I know to tell my children, the spanking will not take away your sin. Only Jesus' work on the cross will take away your sin. Spanking you simply to remind you that sin results in earthly consequences. Parents without good theology might spank the child thinking to drive evil out of the child or to atone for sin, or might discipline their children to release their own frustrations. So what I'm saying is good theology and good Christian character automatically results in good parenting practices. And without those intrinsic virtues, all parenting practices go awry, even good ones. So in the pulpit Sunday morning, it's more important for me to talk about the Christian character emphasis found in the New Testament than to speak about methods of parenting. A church member might come up to me and ask, why haven't I been doing messages on parenting? We need more messages on parenting. Well, I have two answers. When we get to Ephesians 6 and Colossians chapter 3, where the Bible mentions parenting, I will speak on parenting. I will give parenting the same emphasis that the scriptures give. And second, realize that every Sunday, I am speaking about Christian parenting. Because what makes good Christian parents is not parenting techniques, but Christian virtues. A while back, I remember counseling a parent about the need to discipline his child. And I left the discussion satisfied that this man was now going to follow God's word in this matter. When I saw him again, we reviewed the whole process and he assured me that he was now going to discipline his child. About a week later, his child started acting up. And I pointed this out to him and I will never forget his response. He said, oh, he's just being a kid. And it dawned on me that his failure to discipline his child was not because he did not believe in discipline. It was because he didn't believe in sin. He had no sensitivity or conviction that certain behavior in a child is wrong. And to fix his conception of right and wrong could not be done in one counseling session or by reading a Christian book on parenting. It would take a lifetime of growth in Christ. And once this man or any Christian grows in Christ and develops Christian character, there is rarely a need to even counsel these individuals regarding disciplining their children. Because their affinity for righteous behavior causes them to discipline their children without even thinking about it. Sure, the mature Christian needs to know all of the proverbs about raising children. Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs 23:14, you will strike him with the rod and you will rescue his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. These texts are important to know. But the Christian who walks with God already knows in his heart to do these things and has the right motivation to do them. But for the unspiritual Christian, even knowing these texts doesn't help very much. So the secret to being a great parent, as far as what parents need to do, is texts such as 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Or Galatians chapter 5, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Or 2 Peter 1:5, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these texts do not appear to be about parenting, but these are the texts that develop good parents and good children. So that's my counsel after 30 years of parenting and pastoring. Take it and run with it. This has been God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again. Download it or send me an email, and I'd be happy to send you a free CD of this program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out. Thank you for listening today. And I encourage you that if the Lord so leads, consider making God and Country a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we can get so overwhelmed with all of the instructions about our walk through this life regarding parenting, work, church, missions, involvement in the public square. But help us to remember that it's all quite simple. All the commands are fulfilled in this one statement: to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. May you give us that desire so that we can naturally fulfill the works of the law. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we ask. Amen.